wasn't sure I'd ever step out and do my own thing. It took this place to do it.
And it is Virginia Tech. This isn't some rinky-dink-ass program.
I don't know if I could follow that one up.
I'm yelling into the void, and that's what I like doing.
Pete, nobody's looking at your tweets.
We're going to recruit our footprint, and we're going to work our tails off to bring those Virginia kids to Blacksburg.
Those situations are the worst when you are on top of another guy.
The relationships are very important to me. That's what this place is built on.
That's your boy. That's your judge of character. I'm going to end up in a Columbia prison.
That 95 Miami is my fondest memory. And maybe the experience after the Sugar Bowl with Wes Worsham and J.C. Price on Bourbon Street. Come on, J.C.
I want to know what you're drinking, Robbie.
It is roasty goodness, even though I was out.
What's the percent on that?
11.
It was a dream come true back then, and it's a dream come true today.
Hey, Mom, why don't you try a rail?
We're going to put this old guy in a grave.
For the love of the game.
And I mow the lawn after work before the podcast.
We just got better, guys.
Welcome to Too Deep, Hokies Under the Influence, a Sons of Saturday podcast. I'm your host, Pete B., and I've got my co-host with me tonight, Sam. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you on this rainy, dreary Monday?
Well, I would be doing better if it wasn't what happened last night in the women's game. And I'm sure that our listeners have watched the game or did watch it, or if nothing else, they heard about it today. And we're all thinking about Liz Kitley and her health right now. Do you have a cheers for us, Sam, to kick it off?
Yeah, I do have a cheers. Tonight is the start of March Madness. The first round of the Atlantic Sun Tournament is tipping off right about now at 7 p.m. We got Florida Gulf Coast hosting Queens, and we have Kennesaw State hosting Jacksonville. So I'm on both the home teams, if anyone cares, but happy March Madness.
Cheers to that, man. Cheers. So is that Lob City, the old Lob City days, Florida Gulf Coast, or are you on the other team?
I'm on Florida Gulf Coast.
Okay, nice.
They've been playing well. Queens can't play defense. I'm going to go with the home team and the team that can play defense.
You've been getting a lot of action out there lately on the MAAC. Is that correct?
Yeah, the MAAC. Yes, I've decided that the MAAC is what the Mountain West is to me in football. The MAAC will be in basketball moving forward.
Okay.
They have cool nicknames like the Stags and the Red Foxes and the Bobcats. They play in pretty like small but packed arenas. Like they sell out every conference game. All of the schools are like 20 miles away from each other in New England. Like, I don't know. It's just fun. It's fun basketball. It's not that good, but it's fun to watch, especially late in the season. So
yeah, you get
I'm
some
excited
of those mascots
to watch that tournament.
That you don't hear in FBS, you know, because you're a little bit deeper in the cut in the MAAC. But I want to get to the women and how they finished up the regular season last night against UVA. It was obviously overshadowed by what I said before, the injury to Liz. The men had a good comeback against Wake. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And our softball team might be a wagon, I think you said. They're looking kind of good.
They might be really good.
Yeah, and I guess that means the baseball team's a shopping cart. What's the opposite of a wagon?
Well, the baseball team is better than we thought in some areas. They had a rough day on Sunday, but baseball's starting off really good. They're 8-3. They've won every series they've played this year. That Stony Brook team is really weird. Like they took Stony Brook now is, I think, 4-8, something like that. But they beat LSU, who's the number 2-3 team in the country on the road. They beat Purdue on the road, and they took one from Virginia Tech on the road. So we'll see what Stony Brook ends up at the end of this year in the CAA. But yeah, they're good. Brett Renfro, starting pitcher, true freshman. You'll want to keep him. He's an MLB draft pick type of guy.
Okay.
He's looked amazing. So the team is fun. They're playing well. Had a rough defensive day, but they're looking good.
Okay. All right. Well, I wanted to just quickly touch on football before we go to women's hoops. The winter workouts are in full swing, and there's little nuggets coming out here and there. Not a ton. I think TSL had a couple triumph spotlights with Copeland and Sam Brumfield, but Copeland is someone that has hit X and Twitter in a big way with some of the videos that are coming out of him on the squat rack. And I think it was about 2 weeks ago, or maybe on the 23rd, he squatted 635 three times. And then just a couple days ago, he did 655 four times. Now, is that as incredible as I think it is?
Yes. Yes, it is. That's absurd. So that is, for those who don't know, you don't really do like one rep maxes anymore. Like just do one, you'll do as many as you can. And then you can kind of formulaically get to what it would be. So four reps of 655 on a back squat equates to like between a 715 and a 725 max. That is absurd numbers for a college age kid. That is ungodly.
I mean, that it's the most I've ever heard of, and there may be a record out there that I'm not aware of for Tech, but that is completely ridiculous considering, you know, he comes from JUCO, and I know he's into working out. Like, he has the YouTube channel and the TikTok of him doing his workouts, but it's absolutely crazy. And isn't he one of, like, I'm not sure if he was on the 20 mile per hour club, but I'm
yes,
under the, yeah. Okay. So he's got he's the combination.
Okay. I'll say this right now, whole lot of people on that 20 mile per hour club. I'm wondering what kind of stopwatch they're using.
Okay.
Right. I will say the cat, but yeah,
the catapult system's a little bit generous. Maybe
I'll tell you, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Like, the defensive line is athletic freaks. We haven't seen these guys in a long, long time. Even some of the best defensive linemen to come through Virginia Tech haven't been this size speed combo that we've seen with Copeland, that we're seeing with other guys. So really exciting on the defensive line.
It's going to be interesting to see how Copeland fits in with Peebles and Fuga already being here. And I should say Fuga being here and Peebles seeming like he's going to be the starter because Copeland is kind of switching positions. He said in that interview that he's trying to put on weight and he's trying to maintain his speed while putting on that weight. And it's just going to be interesting because he hasn't really played a whole lot of defensive tackle. So that is still in transition, but the physical attributes seem to be there as long as he can put on that weight, maintain the strength and the speed.
Yeah. Really excited to see the defensive front seven in general. So that'll be something to look for in spring ball.
Yeah. Spring practice starts March 15th. So we will have a little bit of stuff coming between now and then with regard to the workouts and who won this or won that. It seems like Drones is doing really well in the workouts, and that's always good to see one of your leaders doing that. But something about March 15th reminds me, we are doing an on-location recording at Commonwealth Brewing Company, their new Fairfax tap room opened up just recently. And so on March 15th, I'm going to be there. We're going to have their head brewer, Jeremy Biggie, on the show to just talk about the brewing process, learn a little bit about Commonwealth. And then we're also going to talk some Hokies and stuff. We're trying to get Sam up there. Might have Ed in the mix to do some basketball talk. And some of my buddies, I think Robbie might slide through. So it should be a pretty good time. So if you want to come out, this isn't going to be something where we're projecting the sound into the place. I think it's going to be pretty lively. It's a Friday night, right before the ACC tournament games on that Friday night. But we're going to have like a table conversation with Jeremy and whoever else is there to just do a little pod. So that should be fun. If you can come out to Commonwealth, Fairfax Tap Room, and I think they refer to it as the FFX Tap Room, on March 15th, we'll be hitting the record button right around 6 o'clock, but I'll probably get there around 5 or so. Women's hoops, Sam. I kind of want to go back because the conversation about Kitley and whatnot, let's have that at the end. I want to go back because we recorded right before game day, and that whole experience, we prepped everyone for the weekend, everything that was coming up, because I think we put out our show on a Friday. We beat UNC on that day, but it was after an awesome showcase that was College Game Day for our fans, because the game and game day were like an hour apart. Like, game day was first, and then I guess, did they kick everyone out and then let them back in? I'm not sure how that went
down. I think
so,
because the ticketing is different. So I believe it was they cleared out, and then they bring everybody back in.
Yeah. But they did a segment with Liz in Georgia on the court, and that was kind of fun. And then they brought Coach Kenny onto the set. It was a great day for the Virginia Tech program, especially because we beat UNC 74-62, and we really jumped all over them. It was 21, 21-5 after quarter one. And UNC did cut it down. I think they got it to 6 at the half. But we separated and cruised in the second half. Kittley had 34, had 14 free throws, and she made 12, which is amazing. Georgia had 19-11. That's just what she does, double-doubles. And then Olivia Sumil, she is so fun to watch, the way she grabs boards and fights for loose balls. So I just thought that was a great game and a great day for our program. And, you know, when I wrote all these notes down, it was before the UVA game last night. So I'm like, just, I'm holding on here till we get to that part of the conversation. But when we had won our 10th straight heading into that Notre Dame game, how were you feeling the morning of the Notre Dame game?
I mean, I'm going to be about the Notre Dame game or about the season in general?
Because just about the season and like how, and like us, you know, potentially keeping that rolling and heading into the tournament.
You know, in the world of sports, like that was such a big letdown spot in South Bend against a really good team. Hildago, their point guard, is very, very good. And she's like a pest in all the best ways defensively. Mm-hmm. That's a long road trip. A very emotional game on against UNC. And I think you're positive emotionally, but very emotional. Playing a lot of games, end of the season, that was kind of a to-be-expected loss, to be honest with you. But you still felt really good about this team, even with that loss. I mean, there's no shame to losing on the road to Notre Dame, one of the better programs in the country. You're feeling good. UVA game, a little bit different. I got to be honest, Pete, like that's one of the more gut-wrenching nights of Tech sports that I can remember. I don't know if I have felt worse, like person, like you're always mad if the team loses or something, right? But if they lose and they just lose because the other team played better than them, that's one thing. Or to lose and to have Kittley go down like that it felt like a gut punch, man. It really, really did. And hopefully there's some good news. I think big picture, you're also just hoping it doesn't hurt her draft stock. This close to the WNBA draft, you know, thinking bigger picture than just this season. But we'll have to wait and see. You can't really diagnose a knee injury like that from film.
Although it's not stopping me or anyone else from trying on Twitter or in our group chats or whatever else. There's been a lot of, well, it looked like she thought this and there was a pop or this or that. And there's been a lot of that kind of talk and none of us know, but a lot of us have watched a lot of sports and have seen a lot of knee injuries happen in a game. And it was talked about as a non-contact injury. I think that's how one of the reporters put it on Twitter. And then someone was like, well, she was fouled, but the foul, there wasn't a lot of contact. But then there's the idea that she didn't give her space to come down.
It was in football, it would be considered a non-contact injury. In basketball, not so. Like, it's not like she got decked. And like, it was a basketball play. She came down awkwardly. It really, really sucks. That whole game just felt like not right for Virginia Tech. Well, but shout out to all the Tech fans who went to the game, though. That was crazy.
Yeah, let's talk about the game in general because it was a pretty competitive game, and when her and Georgia were in the game in the first half, they were doing what they do. They were basically all of our points. If they hadn't been playing in the first half, that game might not have been close. Like, they had the lead. They kind of lost it towards halftime. And then in the third quarter, I don't know about you, but I was feeling like, all right, we've weathered the storm at this point. Half of the people in the arena are our fans. So it's almost not even like a road game. Let's just let our two studs bring us home. And then we get the Liz injury in the third quarter. But Georgia, to her credit, stepped up. And I mean, she just kept making three after three. And that waved off three-pointer on the moving screen call. That was the moment where it was like, crap, I don't like, because it looked like we were coming back. It looked like Georgia was going to bring us back.
Yeah, it was that, and then the turnover on the dribble handoff at half court that led to a fast break layup. That was a killer. UVA had an offensive rebound off of a missed free throw. They had another offensive rebound on a missed layup that ended up in a two-pointer. credit to UVA. They played really well. I had read an article, forget where I read it. It was maybe just a Twitter thread that it was UVA was a better team than their record this year. And they definitely looked like that kind of team, like high ceiling, but low floor. So credit to them for playing hard and playing well. I just feel like Tech looked exhausted on defense. They really did. Like, they just didn't look like they had, they looked a step slower than UVA on defense and then were kind of overexerting on offense. So, really just an unfortunate night for Tech.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I do just want to praise Georgia for getting to 39 points.
Crazy.
Shot the ball 26 times, which was the most of the season, which kind of makes sense if Liz isn't in there. She's shot 24 shots a few times, but this was a really incredible performance by her. And it's what's really wild is that Liz had 20-9 before she even went out. Like, that's a full game for, you know, 90% basketball.
Liz would have gotten 30. She would have had like a 30 and 15. And I think they missed her defensively more than offensively, because when you have a really good scoring point guard, you're going to be able to find ways to score. And Claire Strack came in. She did really well. But defensively, Tech really missed Kitley.
All right. So now I want to go back to after the Notre Dame game. It was a tough game. They kind of led the whole time, and Hidalgo did go nuts. But we lose the game. But we still win the ACC that night. We win the ACC regular season that night because of the Syracuse loss. It was our first time winning an ACC regular season title since 1999, and that was the A-10. So this is a big change. It's a big deal. We don't win a lot of conference titles despite winning the ACC tournament last year. That is a rarity. I think we have five total conference titles in women's basketball history. We're talking like three tournaments and two regular seasons. So that's a rarity. So we have that going into the UVA game. And that sparked a little bit of a conversation between one of our threads today, just about, should we have rested Georgia Amore and Liz? You know, because we do have it locked up and we have so much to gain in front of us.
You know, I understand both arguments. And that's when I was texting y'all today, I was like, man, you can make the argument both ways. And I think if it's an opponent other than UVA, there's a little bit more of a chance of that happening. Like if they're playing Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, Pitt, or basically any other ACC team, I think that's a conversation that's had.
Yeah.
However, it's UVA. It's their last regular season game. There was so much buildup because they were going to, so many Tech fans were coming, UVA fans were showing out. Like, you couldn't forfeit that game, pretty much. It wouldn't have looked good. You want to win that game. But if Kenny Brooks had said pregame, hey, you know what? We're going to let some of our younger players play. We've locked up our tournament spot. We're trying to win an ACC title. We're trying to win a national title. But some people have been a little upset. Yeah, probably. But I also think most people would have understood where he's coming from and that risk mitigation. But
yeah,
again, you don't get to that level of athletic success by thinking that way all the time.
No.
And I also think
that's where I came in at.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fair. It's fair. And you want to win that game.
You want to win that game. It's a rivalry game. And you're right. If it had been a non-rival, so to speak, an unranked non-rival, anybody else but UVA, there's a chance he might have done that. Then again, this is her last regular season game of her career. Like, she's gonna want to play it. And she's done enough for the university that you would have let her play it. So the hypothetical is kind of silly because it's all hindsight based. No one before that game is thinking we should rest Liz Kitley before that game. So
I'm wondering if it was talked about, and I will never say, oh, maybe Kenny Brooks did the wrong thing playing.
I didn't see it happening on social media, I guess, right, is what I'm saying.
But I'm going to wonder if that was a conversation had. We'll probably never know. And even if it was, they would never say it.
Right.
You know, but
I highly doubt. Speaking of the injury though, do you think we're going to get any word on the injury before Selection Sunday? Do you think it gets like out? You don't think it's going to get out?
No. Okay. I really don't. Because if you look, last year, Notre Dame had Olivia, I forget her last name, But she was, there was the, literally the same situation. Last game of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Had it locked up.
Yeah.
And she got hurt. And it basically knocked them down like three seeds. And
that's what I'm worried about. And that's probably what Kenny and them will be worried about. However, you like the national reporter, because this isn't just any player. This is a two-time ACC player of the year, probably a three-time. And there's going to be national reporters trying to figure this out. And so I'm just wondering, can they really wait that long? And if they wait till Selection Sunday to not mess with our seeding, because I do think it would drop us three seeds from where we should be, which I don't even know where we should be right now, because we have the UVA loss, which isn't a great loss. And now we're going into the ACC tournament and we very well could lose our first or second game. So it's tricky.
Yeah. So right now I have the women's net record pulled up, and Virginia Tech is 17th in net. They were 14th before the UVA game. They dropped 17th. But if you look at the teams ahead of them, Notre Dame, in terms of ACC teams, Notre Dame is up there and NC State is just above them. Well, they beat NC State twice. So you feel like they're going to get a higher seed than NC State. Notre Dame is the one who might sneak in here if they have a good ACC tournament. Okay. And honestly, I could also see, you know, there's some teams right behind them, like Colorado and Oregon State, that like, if they get a few upsets in that Pac-12 tournament that has a lot of good teams, could they jump? I don't think Tech is getting any lower than a four, but I think one isn't entirely out of the question. I think two, they would probably need to win the ACC tournament. They're probably looking at a three seed. And
I think I would take a three seed right now if I could, because I'm worried. I think it's going to be five or worse. Like when it's, because I think they're going to know that she's not playing. The committee's going to have a general idea. I don't think that it's impossible for us to win the ACC tournament with the current roster. Like this is a very, Georgia's very good, and so are a lot of those other girls. And you give Strzok some time. And I don't want to go down this road too much, because we're starting our Memory Lane podcast in a few minutes here. But I do worry about the seed, because I don't want it to drop too far. And so I understand the gamesmanship of not saying, oh, she has a season-ending injury if she does. But I also, I don't know. I just find it hard to believe we could wait another week and a half to 2 weeks before we know anything.
Right now, ESPN's Bracketology has Virginia Tech as a three seed in the Portland regional, and has them against Chattanooga, who I believe they played a couple – they played Chattanooga last year in the first round?
It was one of those years. We definitely played them.
Virginia Tech assistant, the head coach.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going straight off memory right here.
Chattanooga, last year,
Creighton, and Maryland. And as the two seeds, ESPN currently has Southern Cal, Iowa, Texas, and LSU. I think it's going to be tough for Tech to jump LSU with LSU having that win. I don't see Iowa dropping anywhere lower than a two. So, it's going to be interesting. I think, like you said, this team is still good enough that they can at least get to the semis without Kitley in the ACC. Mm-hmm. And you feel pretty confident in that. Like, this is a very good team, and they're deeper than they were last year too. So we'll see if some players can step up off the bench.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. And we're going to be playing in just a few days here. So we're going to find out sooner than later how the team looks without Kitley, I would assume. At least the first game is going to be without Kitley, and probably more. Let's talk men's hoops quickly. We lost the Pitt game right after we recorded. That really wasn't pretty, especially in the second half. And then the Wake game, that continued. Wasn't pretty in the first half. We were down 40-25 with 5 minutes left in the first. Outscored them 62-36 the rest of the game. And won by 11 points. Couture had 26. He made 5 threes. Kidd had 21-9. 4 guys in double figures, including MJ, who also added 5 assists, which is something you don't see from him too often. Mm-hmm. And Padula was 15-6. Really nice win, considering the way the game went against Wake early in the year, because they kind of kicked our ass early in the year.
Yeah, I don't want to be the moral victories guy, but it does kind of feel like Virginia Tech men's basketball needs some moral victories to end this year, because the last few months have not been great. And they've had a couple big wins. They had the big win over UVA, who's apparently terrible.
They can't score, might make the tournament. I don't know.
I just feel like they need some momentum. They need some good mojo, even if it ends in an NIT tournament, which has been diluted to not mean much. But I just feel like they need some good mojo heading into this offseason, because it does feel like a pivotal offseason for Virginia Tech this year, because, you know, regardless of transfer portal, they're going to lose a lot of production. So it's going to be important for them to just feel good about things, keep the program looking attractive to transfers and incoming recruits, and just see if we can right the ship next year.
Well, how about something more tangible? The number 9 seed in the ACC. Because if we can get a 9 seed, then we're not playing right away, correct? Like, that's the cutoff point. And right now we're sitting at number 10. We've got Louisville on Tuesday and then Senior Day against Notre Dame. And I think Florida State's the next team in the pecking order, and they have a tiebreaker against us, but there's a couple other teams, I think, sitting at 9-9. So we're playing for seeding right now in these next two games. And if we could somehow get a first round bye, that would at least be helpful if we want to go with that.
And you know what's crazy is, like, if you look at Virginia Tech's done very well on neutral courts this year. They beat Boise State on a neutral court. They beat Iowa State on a neutral court. If they get a decent draw, it's not out of the realm of possibility that this team makes a run. Like, they are so much better than what they've played this year. And you saw that against UVA. You saw that against Wake Forest. You saw that earlier in the season when they had some of those big wins. So, you know, I feel like they could make a run. Like, they're a dark horse team. If I'm taking off my orange and maroon glasses, sitting up to the side, putting on the betting glasses, I'm looking at Virginia Tech and saying, that's a team that could get hot out of nowhere in a tournament setting. So, again, important to keep that mojo. You got to get the next two wins. They should. Louisville and Notre Dame are two of the worst major college basketball teams in the country. Like, you need to win those games.
Absolutely. And they should win those games. And I'm just hoping for a couple of games in DC to be fun for the boys. But that's pretty much all I got to say about men's hoops. I do want to tell you guys quickly about Roback. It's the performance activewear designed for those who crave activity. They just got restocked with the Commonwealth. That's the white polo with the little maroon Virginias. A lot of people have it. It's a beautiful shirt. I got one upstairs. You can get 20% off that shirt by using code 2DVT. You can also get their hoodies. They're so comfortable. T-shirts, quarter zips, shorts, joggers, all of it. Go to roback.com, load up your cart, and use code 2DeepVT for 20% off your order. Sam, I'm going to talk about my beer real quick, and then we're going to sign off because we got to go to the other show.
All right.
We're going to cover your beer and some of the other guys' beers on our Memory Lane show. But I am drinking the Commonwealth Moonbow. I had to go with the Commonwealth because we're going to be recording down there. They just put this up on their Instagram. It's got the surface of the moon on the can. All of their cans kind of have a similar look. It's kind of a more modern labeling to them. And the beer is quite good. It's got a very light, almost like an Allagash white color to it. And maybe a little bit more tart than a New England. And I don't think this is technically a New England style IPA. It's just called IPA with citrus, Simcoe, and Chinook. And some of that like very light, almost tart flavor to an IPA comes through on this one. The percentage, 6% alcohol, it drinks about that way. It almost seems even like a little lighter, but the flavor is very, very good. If you're into not those heavy New Englands, this one sits light in the mouth, has a good mouthfeel. But it's a good beer. The Moonbow by Commonwealth Brewing Company, I would recommend it. And I think that's going to do it for this show. Just a short, quick, 2Deep to update you on everything going on with the men's hoops, women's hoops, football, whatever. And we're going to hop over and do a Memory Lane show. So make sure you stay subscribed to the podcast feed and subscribe to the Sums of Saturday YouTube channel, because that's where you're going to get all of this content. For now, we'll say goodbye and go Hokies.
Go Hokies.